The following podcast is brought to you by Radio Southland and New Zealand On Air. Radio Southland is a community access media station based in Invercargill, New Zealand. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, radiosouthland.org.nz, for our contact details.
The following program may contain music with language or themes which some might consider offensive. We advise discretion.
And now, coming to you from the pulsating heart of urban Invercargill, come in, pull up a comfy chair, kick your shoes off, and put these on. TNN, the new normal, are proud to welcome you in to the Fluffy Slipper Lounge.
Tēnā koutou katoa, welcome into the Fluffy Slipper Lounge. We are TNN, the new normal, and this is our radio show. Darren and Lyndall Ludlow, we are your hosts.
Kia ora.
It's kind of like we are. I am Mr. Rock, your host.
Oh, yes.
And by that, no, I was going to say, I'm not implying your tattoo. Well, there, you've got more than I have.
Yes, depends on how you say it.
Indeed. Welcome along for the 15th of November. This is episode 277. It's still episode 277 if you're listening to our Friday night preview, which you can get on our Facebook page. Either way, lots going on today as we look back over the past week and ahead to some things that are coming up or just freshly underway. And in the midst of that, we will check out Weird Browsing with Lyndall's Real World. There's our musical Taste of Asia and all the assortment of musical merriment and variety that you've come to expect from us, which leads us into your choice, our first choice for today.
Ooh, straight into it.
Yes.
Okay.
Because this is new to me. Where did it come from?
Also new to me, but you know, sometimes when you're on your way somewhere in the car or whatever and you want something really loud and obnoxious.
Yes, I call that going to work or coming back from a council meeting.
Yeah. Sometimes I just want to pull into the council car park with something really loud coming out of my car.
Not wagon wheel.
No. Although it's a danceable wagon wheel. These guys released a new single recently and it came through something, I don't know. So I listened to the rest of their, well, some of the back catalogue, I thought, oh, actually, this is rather good if you want to be screaming at something. Mm. So they're called Calling All Captains.
Ah, so I got...
Yeah, well, I mean, who would know? And they're Canadian, so they're not quite as, you know, challenging as some of the others might be. They've been around for a while, actually. I can't find much about them, to be honest. Based in Edmonton, Canada, and a four-piece they've got some weird, press release description of being, post-punk.
Let's touch on eight different genre in the hope of attracting a new listener.
Yeah, so, not much about them, really, but I quite liked, because sometimes you want something a bit more gritty, and this guy... I think the lead singer must be part Indigenous, because there's quite a lot of reference to the challenges that being an Indigenous community has in a place like America or Canada.
Maybe they're kind of like Canadian version of Midnight Oil.
Well, yeah, maybe. But anyway, they've been around for a while, and they just kind of decided that they were going to do their own thing, from what I can gather. So they do their own thing, and the lead singer's got that ability to do that screamy, yelly stuff without hurting his throat. But
apparently, it's a technique called singing from the front of your mouth, which I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't understand that either. But he's also got a really good just normal singing voice, but he's able to do the screaming stuff, so can't tell you much about the song particularly, apart from the one fact that it's not their latest release. Their latest release is called a new something of grey, a new shade of grey or a new touch of grey or something. And it seems to be about Indigenous kids in care. Sounds so familiar for so many New Zealanders. But this one is called Skin and Bones, and I just rather liked it as a, you know, turn the stereo up and give it a good thrashing kind of a thing. So wake up this morning if it's Saturday morning for you. This will get your brain going or your ears blocked or something. Skin and Bones, Calling All Captains.
Group is called Calling All Captains. Calling All Captains.
Don't know about, but I haven't found where the name came from.
Skin and Bones was the get yourself up and blood pumping type of song, and trying to figure out who it sounded like, and you came up with the answer of
Green Day, a little bit, but yeah. I'm not entirely sure if that's right either.
So the mixture of Green Day and Semisonic and that type of 90s American commercial rock pop.
Yeah, but not...
Not unoffensive?
No. Some of it gets... I got about...
Touch of Matchbox 20, maybe?
Yeah. I got a bit tired of it after listening to about, I don't know, 20 songs in a row. But there are times when this stuff is necessary, and their new album is out beginning of next year.
Okay. Easy to enjoy that. It's only 2 minutes 47 seconds long.
Well, that's true.
Happy birthday for this week, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much.
It's your Lyndall's birthday.
Or should I say thank you?
When I'm 64. she's not, by the way, just saying.
Soon enough.
Still a few years away yet.
Yes.
Lyndall celebrated another lap around the sun back on Wednesday.
Mm.
Amazing how fast the year has gone by.
Indeed.
Isn't it, though?
Isn't it? Far out.
It's like, what? It doesn't seem like that long.
When are we getting that quiet year that we keep asking for?
Round death, I suspect.
Yeah. I'll be bored after a while anyway.
Things that have happened in the past week. Ludlow the youngest had an encounter with the Dark Destroyer.
Yes, but there was no singing.
No, or poetry.
All poetry,
I suspect. So Sean Wallace, the Dark Destroyer, half the town got photos with him, was in town last week doing a quiz night charity fundraiser at Transport World, I think. And he must have been staying at the Langlands. And he has a cocktail called the Dark Destroyer. So Ludlow the youngest was on duty at 360 and got to meet and talk with and make a Dark Destroyer for the Dark Destroyer.
So the thing about the cocktail, though, is that Mr. Wallace... Mr. Wallace gave... Well, I don't know him personally.
Yeah.
Gave a list of the things that he liked, and so Ludlow the youngest put it into a cocktail for him, and it was okay. But then Ludlow the youngest went off and designed his own version of that, and apparently Mr. Wallace liked it much more, and it was much better.
So the
according to the cocktail maker himself,
the Dark Destroyer 2.0 cocktail, the better of the two.
Yes, apparently, and I think they're going to put it on the cocktail menu. So,
from all accounts, bloody nice chap.
Yes,
he's genuinely enamoured with New Zealand. He was here a year, 2 years ago.
I think this is a third trip.
Yeah, it is too. You're right.
Yeah.
Because the last time he was here for an All Blacks test, I took him up on the roof at Eden Park before the game, took him down in to meet the team, and he was up in a box. And he's a genuine rugby fan as well. And so the All Blacks presented him with a jersey.
Yeah, so he's always going to know that trivia.
The thing is, he doesn't get paid for doing this. So he says, you get me there and provide me with some accommodation and I'll do it. He said, I'm well looked after. He's comfortable.
This one, I don't know about the others, but this one's part of that Believe It or Not quiz conglomerate, I want to call it. So he's been all over the country doing these Believe It or Not fundraiser quiz things. And I think, I don't know how people manage to be in his quiz team. I don't know whether they paid extra to be in his team or whether they, you know, were just lucky or whatever, but he had a table of assistants who probably weren't much help.
Don't think he'd need it, to be perfectly
honest. No, exactly.
He could be a team on his own. Pretty much every part of the Langlands managed to get a photo with him, and the many other places he was visiting around town, everybody, and very accommodating, which was lovely.
Yeah.
So we tip our hat to Sean Wallace, the Dark Destroyer, for his visit to the South.
I wonder if he'd filmed any episodes of our version while he was here, or while he's
here. Oh, well, no, so they shoot that in Australia.
Our New Zealand one?
Yes, they do. Do you want to know why? It's cheaper.
But are the contestants not New Zealanders?
Yes, they are.
They fly them to Australia?
It is cheaper to fly them to Australia than it is ridiculous. To build and operate the set. Because in Melbourne, they've got that TV centre with all the game shows set up.
Yeah.
And, of course, there is the Australian version. And now that large parts of the set are projection screens, it's really easy to design different colourings for each country. And apparently
ridiculous.
It is cheaper. Well, they can't be flying with Air New Zealand domestically. Cheaper to get them to Melbourne and film over there.
I wonder if they just go for the day.
Contestants. Not from Invercargill.
Well, no. But I bet they don't stay in Australia.
Maybe not.
Mm. Oh, that's ridiculous. Who likes our host? Not me.
No.
I haven't even watched an episode. I have no intention.
I love the chase. But I will not watch one episode with that.
With that particular host?
Yes.
That's what you're trying to say?
No.
Says the man who can be asleep in his chair and wake up and answer a question and go back to sleep.
Yes.
It's a skill.
See, I'm not really asleep. Or maybe it just goes to show how much you can still hear when you are unconscious.
That's right, even though you're snoring.
It's a gift.
Indeed.
Speaking of gifts, I've done a fair bit of work on stage across the years, but this week I have started my first show. Well, not started, we've gone on stage with the first show that I've done with Invercargill Musical Theatre. Side note, I have done musicals before, but in South Otago.
I'm not sure that counts.
In the 80s.
Yes, I'm done. So.
Well, I was pondering that as I was driving to the dress rehearsal on Wednesday night. And here's the difference. You can get talented singers and dancers all over the country.
Indeed.
We've encountered them, and this show is full of them. It was the dancers, I think, that made the difference. Because back in the 80s when I was in Clutha, there wasn't really the same kind of dance school culture that we have here in Invercargill.
Or
generally
the
now. But yeah, I mean, it is really strong here. And these young women are so polished that it really does add a lot to the show. One of the dancers only joined us a week ago. I'm guessing she's been learning the dances as best she can by herself. And you could tell during the first two rehearsals that she was watching and playing catch up. But I was watching her and going, you know what? You're taking reminders. She is just improving and getting into it. And there must be skills. I have no idea because I'm not a dancer. Certain types of movements, and they seem to happen very naturally. But they're just impressive. The whole cast are impressive. You know, there are a couple of people in there who have some powerhouse moments and a list of songs that are just bloody bangers. You'll love it. For people of our age group, it's just brilliant. If you don't believe me, check out Chris Chilton's review. That man was singing his heart out in the front row last night. Genuinely loved it.
The troffers will be in full voice.
Yes, they will, and we apologise for that in advance. but there are just a couple in there who kind of just, you know, you go, wow. But the company numbers, the ensemble numbers, are just amazing. There is a piece during The Hollies Hit the Air That I Breathe that makes you go, wow.
Yeah, well, we've often said that Invercargill does, to use the phrase, punch above its weight well and truly in the musical scene. And the awards night was a good example. And anything that we go to, actually, that's kind of local people, there's always somebody that could have, if they lived anywhere else in the world or chose to live anywhere else in the world, that'd be big, big names.
Yep.
But they're just quite happy, which is thank you for staying.
the closing number, a Meatloaf classic, Paradise by the Dashboard Light. Again, it's another one of those real. It pops. Tramek, who you've performed with before,
yep,
has this powerhouse piece in it, and it's just, I had to say to her last night, that's really good. But it's interesting from all the stuff that I've done across the years with, you know, a reasonable degree of, I'm actually quite good at this, which sounds phenomenally arrogant, and I don't mean it to, but in amongst this diverse cast, and by diverse I mean ages, I feel very humble and go, you know, these are really talented people. They're not people who just stand up and talk. And I accept that there's a skill to that, but it's it ain't singing and dancing.
Well, it's just really good for you to be trying something different, actually, and just you know, being exposed to a new set of skills and all that stuff.
Well, as you know, I don't read music.
No, but lots of them probably don't either, actually.
And some of that stuff doesn't come naturally to me, but there is a piece that I do with the wonderful Jerry McSorley. And even though my part is spoken, I start it, and it's counting the bars in. And even then, just beforehand, I'm the most anxious at any stage during the show because Jerry's singing in it is beautiful, and I don't want to cock it up. And I'm running all the lyrics over my head, and then there'll be a moment self doubt. Is that it? It's worked well so far. Spoiler alert: the song is "Whispering Grass." Which I've done once before with Craig Waddell when we were involved in an Anzac show back in the, 2008, 2009, some 10, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I remember coming to watch the rehearsal.
Rehearsal. Even though Craig Waddell is in the show, he's directing, he's co-hosting with me, and there's another song that he does, so I'm doing it with Jerry. And if you don't remember, it did actually make it onto a solid gold album. I can't remember which volume.
Oh, no, me neither.
And that's, you'll remember the solid gold albums that came out from 1972 through to the early mid-80s.
Absolutely.
I think we've got a couple of them at home. And this made the cut. Both Windsor Davies and Don Estelle have been to Invercargill. I remember when I worked at Favo FM, if you were climbing the stairs up to reception, a whole lot of photos of famous people who'd visited the station taken by the late Miles. And Don Estelle's face was amongst them. Windsor Davies had been here twice, and I met him one of those times. He was on with John Husband, and because those two got on like
I bet.
Like a house on fire.
That'd be terrible.
But that voice is real.
Yeah,
it's just amazing, and a beautiful, wonderful, humble man he was to talk to as well. Anyway, so we've got the show which opened on Thursday night. Thursday, Friday, Saturday this week. We have Sunday off. I'll mow the lawns and that'll be me. Monday off. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday next week. And I think you and the Troffers are coming along on Friday night.
Indeed we are. Mm.
Mm-hmm. There are still... It's a theatre restaurant, so it's at $90, I think, a person. And that includes a two-course meal and a two-plus-hour show. So you can... If you go on to Invercargill Musical Theatre's Facebook or website, there'll be links there that take you through to maybe find there are some seats at some tables left.
Yeah, mostly for the weeknights. I think the Fridays and Saturdays are sold out, don't they?
I think there are four or five seats at a table on the final night. That I know Craig Waddell booked a table, but he's got fewer people turning up from his workplace because there's not many people that work there.
these that.
Days and so yeah there are some just a couple for the final night. Tuesday, Wednesday next week you might be able to get some seats, but go onto the website, have a look. You did the website booking thing
ages ago. It's relative.
There was a little bit of swearing.
Yeah, I think that's more complicated than it needs to be, but that's the way it is.
It's a third party thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, the song, as I mentioned, is Whispering Grass, and I found the original version.
Yay.
By Windsor Davies and Don Estelle.
All
please.
Those days watching
And watching rewatching it again with the boys.
Yeah.
Which was hilarious.
Especially because it's pretty non-PC these days.
Very, very non-PC because of course there was a breakthrough with a couple of the characters being Indian Asian. There were people who were not playing those roles. And technically these days that's blackface.
Yes, indeed. But anyway, the song's a ripper.
Yep. Back to the days of people not being woke and offended too easily. Not that there's anything in this. Because it is a cover of... a song by a group, and it'll all come back to me later on, of course. During the show, I know it. Whispering Grass, Windsor Davies, and Don Estelle, to you, we lofty.
You promised me, green grass, not to tell what you heard. Whispering Grass, say, you can't keep you a word. Keep you a word, sing lofty.
Why do you whisper green grass? Why tell the trees what ain't so? Whispering grass, the trees don't have to know. No, no. Why tell them all your secrets? There long ago, whispering grass, the trees don't need to know. Don't you tell it to the breeze, but she will tell the birds and bees, and everyone will know, because you told the blabbering trees. Yes, you told them once before. It's no secret anymore. Why tell them all the old things? They're buried under the snow. Whispering grass, don't tell. the trees don't need to know.
Don't you tell it to the breeze, 'cause she will tell the birds and bees, and everyone will know, because you told the blubbering trees. Oh yes, you told them once before, and it is no secret anymore. I will not have gossip in this jungle.
Why tell them all the old things? They're buried under the snow. Whispering grass, don't tell the trees, 'cause the trees don't need.
I don't do
start the humming. I'm glad I didn't.
I don't do the blah 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 bombs. But it is a privilege to stand on the stage with the amazing Jerry McSorley, who we've seen for years. He is by far the most experienced person in the cast, and it's lovely to share that moment.
Yay him for keeping rocking up, right? Yep. It's like, wow. You'd think he'd be sick to death of it by now. But,
no, it's his passion.
Yeah,
loves it. Yeah, of course, cool. Former butcher, was known as the singing butcher, released a CD back in the day.
Yeah.
Good on him. Interestingly, we best know the Windsor Davis Don Estelle version. It was originally performed by a group called the Ink Spots.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that does sound familiar.
And Ringo Starr did a version of it as well.
Oh.
I did not realise that until Wikipedia told me. You are listening to the Fluffy Slipper Lounge. This is a radio show on Radio Southland and a podcast that comes via the accessmedia.nz app, which you can get in Google Play. Download it for free and select Radio Southland as your station. You'll find the Fluffy Slipper Lounge on Apple Podcasts. It's on the Radio Southland website, radiosouthland.org.nz. And you can also get it first on our Facebook page at around about 8 o'clock on a Friday night before it goes to air. Nah, 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 nah. We are TNN, the new normal, and still to come, we'll be checking out what's going on in Lyndall's real world. It's a strange place.
Yeah, it's got stranger just recently.
And also find out why on earth the TNN crew are playing Madonna. Now, last week, lots going on. A lot of time spent at the Muses Club. The much talked about dance party was there, and on Saturday night, and there was much dancing. And Sunday was very sore and quiet. But you were there on Friday night to see the Andrew Fagan tour. We played his new single a few weeks back on the Fluffy Slipper Lounge.
Last Passage of Time.
What was it like? I don't mean the song. I mean the show.
Yes.
Oh dear.
It was. I loved it. By the end of the night, I'd had a really good night. About halfway through the first half, I was like, oh, how long is this going to take? Because he's just, I think I described it to one of the girls that I was with at the time, you know, he lives in his own little universe.
He's a genuine eccentric. He's not a wannabe one.
Yeah, absolutely.
He is what he is.
And as much as in the past I've thought that he, you know, and the mind-altering substances were what I was seeing. I'm sure they've played a part, but maybe that's more just the way he is these days than anything. So we were treated to some poetry to begin with.
Which is probably not what you'd thought you'd sign up for.
No, and not even in a Sam Hunt kind of way. Some of them... I kind of found it fascinating that a songwriter hadn't turned his poems into songs, because generally speaking, that's what songs are anyway, in my view. And some of them will make great songs, actually, if he just teases them out a bit. So I guess it was just... And because he's touring on his own, he had a guy magically leap up from the audience to join him to play some of the old classics. But I guess when he's on his own, and maybe not writing as much music because he keeps jumping onto his yachts and sailing off into the sunset, literally, you know, needed to fill in the time, I suppose, or I don't know what his motivation was, but it was interesting. And about halfway through at the poetry, I'm like, oh man, And he told us that he had a little handbell, and when the palm was finished, he would ring it and we could clap. Which was fine, because, you know, sometimes you can't tell when the palms are finished.
Mm.
It's a bit like a piece of classical music. Do I clap now?
Or the ballet.
So, but about halfway through that, I'm like, I'm hearing Pavlov and his dogs in my head. I'm not clapping anymore. I'll clap when I jolly well feel like it. So I didn't respond to the clapping on the bell thing, but
it's interesting for someone who works in a regulatory world, and by this I'm talking about Lyndall. He doesn't like the do as you're told, do as I tell you.
Well, yes, and also my day job, do as you're told. Anyway,
I just sat up straight.
Yes, good. Hands on heads. I quite often say that to my colleagues anyway. But the whole night was actually really cool, and he just so is in his own little universe that is fascinating. He told us stories about his sailing adventures and how he'd set off on this 14-month adventure of sailing from cape to cape solo on a really little yacht.
Tiny. Yep. I remember it. Bloody, yep. It looked like it was stunted.
It was multimedia presentation, and we had songs and poems.
Oh, here's a PowerPoint.
Videos and, you know, all that stuff.
Or did he use an overhead projector?
Just about the Museos Club. That was really interesting, actually. And then he read us a thing from some, 18th, 19th century sailor person who'd written this thing about sailing off into the sunset, and that was lovely. Played us some bangers from, you know, the Mockers. Didn't play Elvis and Park, but when I was talking to him afterwards, he sang it for me. Because I was buying a T-shirt and he was signing it for me, and I said, oh, Elvis and Park was the first vinyl I ever owned. And he said, I always loved that song. And so he sang part of it for me, which was...
which was very nice.
It was lovely. Got a hug. Oh, it was lovely. So in the end, a really good night, actually. And he's still on tour. He's got a really heavy tour schedule, actually. Lots of little places like the Crown in Dunedin. I think he played at the Aparima Tavern or something.
Yes, he was there the night before.
In Riverton. So if you're up the country and still got a night free, I'd pay it a visit. It's well worth it. If you're expecting all the old Mockers bangers, don't do that, because he played maybe four or five of those. Sat down and did some Barry Manilow and Carpenters as well. So it's a real mixture. And really, a really nice night, actually. Not very long, actually. It was only a couple of hours long.
Yeah, well, you got the message for the Goober taxi to turn up. Really? Okay, fine.
Yeah, so, yeah, nice night, actually, and, yeah, great.
This is the Fluffy Slipper Lounge, and still to come before the end of this episode, we will be talking sport. We have reached the stage of the show, though, where we always like to indulge musically in a taste of Asia. So what's on your takeout menu today?
Well, funny you should say takeout.
yes. The food pun was completely unintentional.
Oh, well, I thought you did it on purpose.
No,
it just comes naturally to you.
Yes,
that's right.
It's the dad jokes, as recognised by a couple of younger cast members and a reviewer recently.
Oh, it's good.
Are they really?
Yeah,
suppose.
It's like been classified as
23 years. It's got to have some effect.
Yeah, welcome to my world is usually my response when somebody groans in my presence. This is especially for Ludlow the Younger, who particularly loves La Seraphim, the K-pop girl group from, I think they've been around for only 3 or 4 years, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's their favourite, which was handy because I managed to get one of their box set of something or others. I don't know what they have, cards and CDs and stuff in them.
Wet wipes.
Last year for him for Christmas. So he was talking about that just when he was down, actually. So it was nice.
Did you get that at Tower?
Yes.
Tower in Shibuya?
Yeah.
I thought so.
At Real Groovy in Auckland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yes, this is La Seraphim's latest release called Spaghetti. And it features one of my faves as well, J-Hope from BTS. So it has double. La Seraphim's probably one of the ones that the girl groups that I would listen to more than some of the others. As I was showing Darren on the television the other night, I don't know who that group was, actually.
We watched the video to the track that you played last week.
Yes, I Want You Back by BE:FIRST.
And then it was followed on by a K-pop girl band.
Yeah, actually, I think they had Japanese, or the J-pop, as well, those girls.
That whole baby doll thing. And
oh, yeah, it was terrible. Terrible, terrible. The music was average, and the over-sexualisation of those girls was terrible.
It was like watching beach volleyball.
No, not even, because unless the beach volleyball girls don't look down the camera and lick their lips and, you know, pout and stuff.
Don't they?
No, not that I've noticed. There is certainly a disparity, although the guys are pretty sexualised too, but in a...
But in their dance moves rather than their costuming.
Well, and you know, they do usually have clothes on, and their dance moves are way more dancey.
Way better, yeah.
Anywho, yeah, this is apparently about... because it's called Spaghetti, and it's... in reference to in a weird, only these people could do this, in a weird kind of way, having food stuck in your teeth, like a song gets stuck in your head,
right.
So that's the vague connection that they
something's been lost in translation, but I get what you mean.
Yes, well that's what they tell me anyway. So I quite like it actually, and there's quite a nice wee dance thing that goes with it. So look it up if you want, I suppose. This is Spaghetti. Hope you're having it for dinner, by Le Sserafim.
Oh, how I wish this summer could last a bit. Give me one last kiss this summer.
Oh, scalp, here come the roses.
This is a hot spot. Some shit that's happening, you pop song. Don't go to your dead, not fall in love. Time is so omnin' my. Putting in the kitchen. Cooking it up, what you craving? Night, my dead resistant. And now the world's gone.
Yeah, this is the sweet spot. Head up, the sin is the big shot. Share choice, no, we can keep. Yeah, you're lost in the sauce, no turning back. The chia go your bombs, the deep ooh, the jaw. On a pin, jan, and before you pin, jan, and y'all. Jong, and jong, go, jijo, tan, and you were morning. Yo, what a song, go, keep, might go, break. Snap it out like a gap, in a kimchi, put in a yard, jolly, priceless. Whatever I'm cooking, I got you. The cost of the one of my life, you're the chef. Nigga, no, chia, drop margin, no, you go, do, song, the meal, you go, go, calorie, hash, shock. More than you, that, hot, lean, and tired of the dump me, and all you got as a bottle.
Yeah, this is a hot spot. Don't give a fuck, nigga, monotone. Spoof us on my shizzo, beat us all 3-star. Yeah, my little man hate it. All you got's up, not your diet. I'm less a cannon than me. You better stop lying. Don't care what you talk about. 오늘도 제 발로 달려온 건 나잖아. Deep 스며들어 in your mouth. 진짜 사랑인지 아닌지 없이 봐봐.
If I say can spaghetti. 빼고 싶니 뻔하다지. 그냥 볼게 어차피. Eat it up, eat it, eat it up. Soaking seraphim, bad bitch in between your teeth. Can you poke it or chop it?
Eat it up, eat it up. Eat it up.
Le Sserafim, Spaghetti, featuring J-Hope of BTS.
Indeed.
And with references to food and the teeth in there, I did pick that up.
Le Sserafim, anagram for I'm fearless.
Oh.
Mm.
Deep. You're listening to the Fluffy Slipper Lounge. Thanks, Radio Southland, for providing the platform for us to do this in. Shout out to the nice people at Amplify Coffee, who were one of the section sponsors at the Southland Music Awards recently, and they've been supplying coffee to Groove Espresso, but now they've opened their own little shop on Leven Street.
Yes, yay.
We've been drinking our way through a 1 kilogram bag of their beans for the last fortnight. Very nice.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Should we go and check out their new space?
Yes, indeed. Do they do coffees there, or do they just do
yes,
roasting?
Yes, they do coffees there.
Oh,
and there's been a bit of time kitting the place out to look welcoming. I think it's only open through till about 3 or 4 in the afternoon, which makes sense. Cause
this is the trouble, though. I had this conversation about New Zealand lifestyles with somebody just the other day.
Why on earth would we play Madonna? We will find out very shortly. But we that was a bit quick. But we have reached that point of the show when this happens.
Steve Le. Le poisson Steve. Il est orange. Il a des bras et des jambes. Le poisson Steve.
Welcome to Lyndall's Real World, which this week came with an interpretive dance.
Well, I told you it's really hard to sit still and not do the wiggly arm thing.
True. For one of the many video versions of Le Poisson Steve that you can find on online media. What's been in your browser this week?
Oh, my goodness.
So
well,
much.
You know how I said there was a time I did some other searches so that something different would come up, but I hadn't even done that. And just... Wednesday night, a whole lot of random stuff turned up in my feed, and this one tickled my fancy, I suppose. So you know that we love a good bit of wood chopping at the AMP show.
Yes, we do.
Don't we?
We've been to enjoy a couple of timber sports days in the past.
Yes, indeed, and we previously watched my brother-in-law do the chopping, and we've watched, you know, locals do really well.
Brother-in-law, his dad, his late dad, a cousin and her husband.
Yeah, disproportionate number of people we know that do wood chopping, actually. So this one, the reel that popped up was there's a can on the ground, a can of beer on the ground, and there's a long, tall pole tree, right? So it's like a pole pine or something without its branches. And these old blokes are cutting it with the chainsaw, and they have to cut it so that it, when it falls, it squashes the can of beer. Right? So it's, you know, quite precise.
Yes.
So I was fascinated by this, and I watched it right through. And, of course, they succeeded. Yay. But it was just, it reminded me of that. And then I went to the account and started having a look at all the other stuff that they do. And it's like, what did you call it? Wood sports. No?
Timber sports.
Our timber sports people need to broaden their minds, right? Because they have got, there is all sorts of random stuff, like walking across a pond on logs, you know, like you see in the cartoons. There's balancing on a very thin a tree that's sitting up like a seesaw, and then you have to use your chainsaw to cut a little tiny slice off a piece at the end. There's the standard wood chopping, you know, like we've seen. But if you're a handyman with a chain or girl with a chainsaw or an axe,
a bit few of them around here now.
Yeah, well, that's right, and that was the other thing. It just made me laugh because there's a whole lot of people around at the moment chopping up bits of tree. So the account is called the Logger League, and it's an American, I'm assuming, actually, you know, timber sports people doing their thing. But there's a whole lot of different activities that we don't do here, and it was a bit of a hoot, really. So the Logger League, at the Logger League via Instagram. Thank you very much.
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay.
Also that. Oh, it's hilarious.
There's a moment during the theatre restaurant Solid Gold, on at the moment, at the Ascot Park Hotel, where we play some vintage television commercials.
Oh, good eye.
And in there, I'm an odd fellow and I'm okay.
Oh,
remember that?
Oh, yes, I do.
Mm, all those red swan dries and people eating large mints.
Yes.
It's mints with the TS.
Can you get them still?
What, Oddfellows?
No, I don't think you can.
I haven't seen them.
No, I think you can only get granny mints now. I'm old enough to be.
Mum used to have them in a jar next to the bed.
I
figured because they were both heavy smokers.
Yeah, true that. We used to go on Sunday drives. Mint. I used to have an Oddfellow to keep me awake because I'd be like falling asleep in the back of the car.
You mean the sweet, right?
Yes. Next time.
Steve Le. Le poisson Steve. Il est orange. Il a des bras et des jambes. Le poisson Steve.
Okay, the question that we posed to you earlier on is, why would the Fluffy Slipper Lounge be playing a song by Madonna? Well, follow me, if you will, because as you'll have figured out, our musings can be on a windy path sometime. During the past week, New Zealand movie director Lee Tamahori passed away at the age of 75. He was back in New Zealand after having lived in the States for a while. First came to everyone's attention in a big way with the amazing, haunting movie Once Were Warriors, and its follow-up, What Becomes of the Brokenhearted, but did go off to Hollywood. I think he did Mulholland Drive, big star-studded.
Oh, yes, that was quite good.
Cast for that movie. He was found dressed as a woman on Sunset Strip at some point. Not quite the full George Michael police incident, but it did get some attention. But he
wouldn't now.
Nah. And you know, who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
He also directed the Bond movie Die Another Day, which was the third or fourth one that Pierce Brosnan did. That was the one when they ended up on the ice hotel. But there was that stupid
skiing awful scene at the beginning. Is that what you're talking about?
Surfing scene on that. There was a piece of a glacier fell into the ocean.
Oh, no, I was thinking something else.
And he ends up surfing this massive tsunami wave. It was
unrealistic.
Quite. As were the opening scenes of many Bond movies. But Die Another Day included a cameo appearance playing the part of a lady fencer, and I don't mean someone who puts up fences, but, you know, swashbuckling, I mean.
Pawn shop.
Yeah, true. Different sort of porn for that actress.
Yeah.
Madonna played.
In inverted commas.
Did although, give her credit, Evita was very good.
Oh, I don't know.
And interestingly, she had to learn to sing to do it. Not my usual singing style, because it was in tune. So Madonna also had the opportunity to sing the theme song for that particular movie.
How you got there.
Yeah, thank you. Which was Die Another Day, which I'm going to play for you in just one moment. So Lee Tamahori passed away at the age of 75. Rest in peace. Here's Madonna. There'll be much peace that comes from this. Must have come out around about the same time as Madonna did music, because it has that very similar vibe to it.
Yeah, but no wonder I don't remember it.
It's quite...
As a Bond theme, it's pretty...
It's right up there with Billie Eilish, who did a Bond theme as well, and it was fine, but, you know, it wasn't like Adele or Shirley Bassey.
Yeah, or Sam Smith. Those ones I remember. That one I do not remember at all.
Interestingly,
but it was a time when I wasn't really paying much attention either. So.
Well, the Sam Smith one that he did included, well, he had to do most of it in falsetto. Notes so high, he's never done it live.
Mm.
Interesting.
It's good, though. I really like that one.
Actually. He does have a very unique voice. Just a quick note that, thank you for listening to the Fluffy Slipper Lounge, by the way. We're going to talk yourself out to the end, because we can. Did you know it's World Kindness Day today?
No, I did not.
Well, it is, and they're doing a special event that is on as we speak at South Alive. Started at 10, goes through to 2 at South Alive, a day full of free, family-friendly fun. the pantry barbecue. Oh, might have to go and see that. I do like their meat patties.
Mm.
They're very good.
Mm. Our friends on the barbecue. This time, because I do believe they've told their volunteer crew that they don't need them anymore.
Really?
Mm.
Oh, dear. Well, I'll go and judge that. There's baking, the wide trailer games are there. There's a children's book exchange, get some new books for them. Tai Chi, you've done a bit of that in the past.
Yeah, I love it. I wish there was somebody at a suitable time and decent around. But
Lots of crafts, bubbles, and by that, not drink, music and more. And they do ask if you're going along for World Kindness Day that you bring a non-perishable food item to contribute to the Pay It Forward food boxes to spread a bit of kindness in the community.
Nice.
Great initiative. Well done, South Alive. Also on today, on at the moment and through until 4 o'clock, is the annual Winton Open Day.
Oh, yeah.
So like that precursor towards Christmas.
Yes.
A full day of free family fun, again, throughout the Winton Town Centre. Street stalls, live entertainment markets, kids' activities, displays, and the Grand Parade at 2:30 p.m. Food, music, and entertainment for all ages, and it's a great day out for the whole community, so the press release says. Actually, I pinched that off Radio Southland's community news. Let's talk sport.
Okay.
The All Blacks played Scotland at Murrayfield last Sunday morning, and it wasn't the walloping we thought it was going to be.
Well, I think I might have said it's going to be close.
You did indeed.
Good luck to them.
25-17, the eventual score, and we played the majority of the game with 14 players.
Yeah.
Three yellow cards throughout
it. Three yellow cards.
Got to do better. There's no real excuse for that at that level.
I'm not sure whether it's our fault or not, if you know what I mean.
So was it a lacklustre performance from the All Blacks, or was Scotland that good in your mind?
Oh, we made too many mistakes. That's all.
Was it the 100th test that's been played at Murrayfield?
I don't know.
It was quite the occasion.
Yes. Oh, it's nothing like listening to the Flower of Scotland sung by however many people that was. That was gorgeous.
So the Grand Slam continues. Be a challenge this weekend because it's England at Twickenham.
Yes.
Again, 4 a.m. New Zealand time on Sunday morning. And the tour finishes in Cardiff.
Might be about 10 o'clock Sunday. In our house. Might be 4 o'clock.
Well, it won't be quite so bad for you this week.
No.
I'll still be whinging and bitching. Formula One last weekend, they raced in Brazil. The sprint race on Sunday morning was won by McLaren's Lando Norris convincingly. Mercedes drivers Kimi Antonelli and George Russell second and third. But the Grand Prix on Monday was again a win for Norris comfortably. Antonelli was second again, just holding off a storming Max Verstappen, who finished third. The thing to note is that Max had to start from pit lane. Only the second time in his career that he did that.
Yeah.
Last year, he started 17th and won.
Yeah. I saw a meme the other day that had Max Verstappen will now be starting Formula One races from the customer car park. I thought, yeah, okay.
It works for him. It obviously gives him a bit of extra motivation. Hey, great race as well for Liam Lawson, not the sprint race, but the Grand Prix. He finished 7th ahead of his teammate, Just. It was an 8th, and that was after his teammate gave him a tap going into the last lap. There may have been words exchanged after that. Next race is Las Vegas at 5 p.m. New Zealand time on the 23rd of November, which is great. That's because it's a night race in Las Vegas.
Yeah. Yes.
There are fears, though, around the logistics for that because, of course, the government shut down over there. All the air traffic controllers and security people are on strike, so air travel is being held up.
And I think it's one of the most expensive Grand Prix to attend as well.
Yes, it is. It's the one that Liberty Media, who own Formula One, they own it. So it's not hosted like, say, Melbourne City host.
Yeah.
It's the only one like that. Repco Supercars Championship. Your cousin will be at Sandown in Melbourne this weekend for the Sandown 500. Final 7 in contention. Current points leader Brock Feeney, Chaz Mostert, Matt Payne. He's the only Kiwi there. Cam Waters and last year's champion Will Brown, Kai Allen, Thomas Randall. They're the only 7 who are in contention. And after this round, only 4 will be left. They'll all be racing. Shane van Gisbergen has been told by Trackhouse Racing that he'll be running the number 97 next year. It's a traditional number. His father used to race it in rallying. Shane used it when he started off in motocross. Even when Shane was V8 Supercars champion, he could have run the number 1, but he ran the number 7. Cormac Buchanan, the penultimate round was in Portimão, Portugal last weekend, 20th placing, moving on. Final round is in Valencia this Sunday at 11, and only days remain after that until he's back in Invercargill.
Yeah, like he must just get on the plane and come home almost straight after the day after. So
Brendan Leach, we talked about, was at the Lamborghini Super Truffle Racing Crown last weekend. Back-to-back wins, capping off another season in the Italian one-mate category. He made a guest appearance in the finale at Misano alongside Australia's Nicola Stati, who he coaches, with a pair with the Pro and put out a clinical performance. They started, teamed up for the first time. They took out the first race with Leapit Motorsport, Brendan's old team from over there. Second race, win again. He was also racing in the Super Trofeo Europe with his Super Trofeo Asia partner Jian Song, who he's coaching, and Jian's still learning. He says politely.
And good luck to Brendan and all those other people who are probably nearly finished, well, some of them,
yep.
The Queenstown Marathon.
So he got on a plane, came straight back to New Zealand and admitted that he was more nervous about starting the Queenstown Marathon, his first ever marathon, than he was starting on pole in a race.
Yes, and there's so many people I know that go up for that. So go well, hope it's okay.
Yep, who's it? Bins is doing it.
Yep,
and lots
of women do the half.
Their photos will be all over Instagram and Facebook this weekend. Hey, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Fluff.
There's been a lot of
fluffing today. Around. Fluffy Slipper Lounge, have yourself a great week. And we look forward to catching you back here, same bat time, same bat channel next week.
Kaki te, don't be a dick.
The preceding podcast was brought to you by Radio Southland with the support of New Zealand On Air. Their funding of accessmedia.nz makes these podcasts available. To find similar programs by other stations involved, go online to accessmedia.nz.